Hey, this is Famous Dave here, America's Rib King, at WGN Radio with Dane Neal. Baby, don't you wanna go?
Come on. Oh, baby, don't you wanna go? 720 WGN, it is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue in Chicago for what is, and oftentimes here in this building, Tribune Tower, a lot of history happens. But the history of food and the history of barbecue is so close to Chicago's history, but is one of those histories that is kind of, I think, for the greater public and the greater food enthusiast and food fan public, kind of unknown, right? And so who better to tell those stories as barbecue is the hottest thing going, and it's the kind of thing that is influencing so many cooks and so many websites and products all over the country, is the people who influenced it from the get-go. Back we go back to the 82 Mike Royko Rib Fest, and a good friend, Ray Lamp, he tells that story of being there for that media inspired festival that, you know, had beer and barbecue front and center with Dave Raymond, Sweet Baby Ray, Charlie Robinson. Ray there, they're just kind of enjoying it. You know, this is before barbecue was a career, kind of saying, like, this is great. We're recognizing that. How do we get to do more of that? And they certainly have done that as Hall of Famers, brand ambassadors for the Big Green Egg, the greatest selling barbecue sauce, chains that are beloved around the country, in studio with us. And we've got some other people, too, that are Chicago barbecue personalities that have done so many great things. Gary Wiviot from Barn & Company with Low & Slow. He's an author. We've got Meathead Goldwyn, who's an author and an educator. Barry from Smoke, who is, I mean, it is one of the most beloved places. And, of course, the other guys mentioned, Hall of Famers and legends nationwide, but with Chicago as their home. And here's the guy who is, this is his brainchild, his barbecue brainchild, Famous Dave Anderson. Dave, let's talk about Chicago barbecue.
You know, Dane, I'm really excited to be here. And for me, this has been a lifelong dream to really acknowledge how Chicago, which had the largest stockyards in the world and has really been known as hog butcher to the world. And my own story of barbecue really gets started out way back when my dad, who's a Choctaw Indian from Idabel, Oklahoma, met my mom, who's a Lakota Ojibwe Indian from Hayward, Wisconsin. And the story is really somewhat of a tragic story in many ways, that both my parents were taken from their families and put in Indian boarding schools. And so they actually met in Haskell Institute for Indians in Lawrence, Kansas. And then my dad went to World War II, spent 4 years on the front. But when he came back, 1945, married my mom, and they moved to Chicago because that's where all of the jobs were after the war. And to show you how passionate my family was for Southern home cooking and barbecue, my dad used to haul my mom down south every other weekend till she learned how to cook Southern. But but where the barbecue comes from is my dad being a Southern boy, my dad was a construction worker, an electrician. In fact, when he retired, he was one of the senior foremen in the electrical union for Sears Tower. He was one of the Indians that would crawl up those antennas and change light bulbs. But my dad tells me that when he started working here, he quickly recognized that some of his black coworkers would sort of disappear during lunchtime, but when they came back, they had some of the best-smelling hickory-smoked ribs in their lunch buckets.
So no bologna sandwiches there.
No. And so, you know, and this goes back to the 1950s, and I can remember as a little kid in the late 50s, my dad bringing home ribs in his lunch bucket. So the history of not only Famous Dave's, but the history of Chicago barbecue for me resonates all the way back to the 50s.
What are the things that you guys all do, whether you're working in restaurants or writing books or out there as ambassadors, is you are carrying that torch for barbecue wherever you go? And, of course, you have Chicago at your roots. And Ray, we've talked about, again, the Royko Rib Fest and how just the light bulb went off. Like, let's try to do this. But talk about it as you kind of have traveled and paved, as you guys all have in many ways, paved a way for a career and kind of given people what they wanted in an area that didn't exist before. And now all that demand is meeting what you guys are given.
Oh, yeah. We're so lucky to be in this industry at this point. Barbecue is growing like crazy. I like to think that we've all helped to grow it all, but we're also all serious beneficiaries of it. Back to what Dave is saying about Chicago not being recognized, it's absolutely true. The barbecue's here. There's no question about it, but it's always been ignored. We're talking about these places that have been there for 50-60 years. In Kansas City, they'd be famous, they'd be in every book, and everybody'd be writing about it. In Memphis, it would be a big deal. Everyone would go there and worship. Here, nobody even really knows who they are. So it's such a cool thing to get the opportunity to recognize
them. And over the years, people have kind of said, and I've always kind of said, oh, Chicago's got some great barbecue, got some great history, got some great personalities, but you wonder why. You know, was it there were better storytellers in those other places? I kind of say that Chicago is just so big and has so much going on.
Well, I'm just going to say it. Chicago is a very segregated community, not in a bad way, but the white people live over here and the black people live over there and the Germans live over here and the Polish live over here, just the way Chicago is. Barbecue, to me, was dominant on the south side where the folks that came from the south. We know that. That's true. The white people, as I was growing up here, they all came from Ellis Island. They didn't know anything about barbecue. So, I mean, a random white guy that was interested in it or had come from the south, but in general, it was just that line. And I think the historic barbecue in Chicago is definitely in the black neighborhoods. I mean, we'll get into the whole, what I call steakhouse ribs. We can think of some as a nice way to say it. The white people were eating ribs that were cooked, ribs versus barbecue. You know, ribs were cooked in an oven with a little barbecue sauce smeared on them, finished up right next to the steak. You know, we can discuss all of that. That, to me, that was the two things.
But I kind of want to tail off on that, because that's how today the Great Chicago Barbecue Tour got started. We haven't recognized the historical significance of the Chicago Aquarium smoker, how meats are cooked right over live glowing embers. Going back to what Ray was saying, I always knew my family was different growing up here in Chicago, because when all the other little kids were going out for burgers and hot dogs and pizza, my dad was packing us up in the family station wagon, and we were headed down to the south side of Chicago, where we would go to Lem's, or we would go to the Rib Palace. There was a place on Kedzie and Lake called the Sprague's. It had the hottest ribs in town. There was Farmer Brown's on Clybourne and North, but a lot of the best-tasting ribs were on the south side of Chicago.
And you've got great ribs, and you've got, of course, great sauces, and you've got all those things as you guys travel the country. You know, Dave, your restaurants are all over the place. Ray, you're all over the place. Sweet Baby Ray's is everywhere as well. And I wanted to ask you, like Dave Raymond here, you know, as people around the country enjoy Sweet Baby Ray's, like how much of your history and kind of just your experiences in Chicago, those flavors do you build into things that people, even if they don't know that's Chicago, they're enjoying across the country?
I'd say most people are not familiar with Chicago as being a barbecue mecca. I feel it absolutely is. But the purpose of today is to give recognition to the south side and west side barbecue places. But I think there's a ton to be said for north side barbecue, which would have been Carson's, Gale Street, Twin Acres. What they may have lacked in true quality barbecue, they made up with tonnage and smiling faces and happy people and just thousands and thousands of people, tens of thousands of people getting more familiar with barbecue. So you put that all together with the amazing meat shops, produce houses, bread stores that got the backyard barbecue enthusiast more into grilling and barbecue, and the restaurants, while there's a great proliferation of barbecue in the southern part of the United States, up north of the Mason-Dixon line, we have barbecue and we have quality ingredients and great providers and all the good foods you need to produce great barbecue. So when you put it all together, I think Chicago really stands on its own, not in the first tier of the four barbecue areas, but we're right up there at the top of the second tier is how I see it. And as I travel around the country, what I got credit for was not so much my barbecue sauce, but cooking at Taste of Chicago. I mean, Mike Royko was a big deal, But Taste of Chicago, where we were doing 40, 50,000 servings in a 10-day period and 12 and 13,000 servings in one day, not that other people couldn't do that. Most other people didn't have the opportunity to do that. So to be in Chicago where there is segregation, but there is great diversity, there's many, many, many things that can be accomplished in any facet of barbecue or grilling or any other thing you choose to do.
So as you guys share what it is that you've done with America and, of course, with Chicago as the roots, you're developing a lot of fans, people that want barbecue here in the city. Gary Wiviat has been doing it for so many years. He's over there at Barn & Company. He's authored books, Low and Slow. So Gary is a guy doing it in the restaurant on a daily basis, you know, and people come in. Do they say that there's a difference between Chicago barbecue, or what is it that you put in it that keeps your fans coming back?
Well, I mean, the cliche answer is I put love and experience in it. But, you know, what I'm doing is I'm trying to use all of the knowledge that I've gained to make the best product, the best barbecue that I possibly can. And I think that there is a little bit of a difference when you're using smokers such as aquarium smokers, like at Uncle John's or Lem's, where you're cooking direct over wood. And then you're using smokers such as Bear uses, Southern Prides or Cook Shacks. And there's a little difference in flavor. And what you're doing is you're making that north side as opposed to south side barbecue. They're both equally delicious. But I also think that we're in danger of losing the south side aquarium smoker barbecue because it's more of an artisanal product. And just in the last year, James Lemons of Lem's and Max Evier of Uncle John's had passed away. And they were two of the best, most knowledgeable, wonderful personalities in the barbecue world. So I like to think of myself, I'm a lot older than Barry. I like to think of myself as a real Chicago barbecue guy. Barry certainly is. Meathead is doing his part. We're all doing our part to promote barbecue.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. And we are going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to hear from Barry Sorkin of Smoke Restaurant, including all of these barbecue legends that we have right here. So a quick break. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. Before we went to the news, we have all of our barbecue all-stars in on this. Gary Wiviat from Barn & Company was talking with Barry Sorkin from Smoke and kind of looking into what they hope to accomplish and what we hope to accomplish with this Chicago barbecue tour. Well, you're promoting barbecue and also kind of embracing and I think taking hold of Chicago's legacy and history as one of the greats, if not one of the greatest, barbecue cities in America. And Gary mentioned you, Barry, and your place is, and you've seen Barry Sorkin, of course, on television. He's highly acclaimed all over the place and with good reason. But I think in what I've known talking with you a couple times is that you are a really receptive to the history of Chicago, to some of the people that have been there and done those things that have made what it is that you do not only so great, but so popular.
Right. I mean, it's sort of interesting. I'm in many ways, like they talk about how Chicago didn't recognize this great barbecue history that we have. In many ways, I'm an example of that. I grew up on the north side and never had been to Lem's that is growing up, never had been to any of these places growing up. But interestingly, the place that first inspired me is a place called Heckey's.
Heckey's in Evanston, yeah.
Which is doing very much a South Side style barbecue on the north side. And so I may not have been aware that I liked South Side barbecue, but that was the first experience I had getting inspired by barbecue. And then beyond that, I'd done some traveling and been outside of the Chicago area and been to some of cities that are normally considered the barbecue meccas of the country. And that sort of inspired me further, and what we ended up doing is sort of an amalgam of the two, I would say.
Barry had to be the first guy in Chicago aggressively selling really good brisket, because we haven't said this yet. When we talk about Chicago barbecue, it's pretty much about ribs historically. Barry was the first guy who really brought brisket that I think.
And I sort of portray Barry to be Chicago's own Aaron Franklin, where Barry Sorkin has lines wrapped around the block from the time he opens till he closes.
I knew about Barry and his brisket a long time before I knew about Aaron and his.
He doesn't have as good of a publicist.
Barry has a national reputation for his brisket, and it's well deserved, and we are all very proud.
I agree.
Barry and his brisket reputation.
I agree with you, Dave, and it is kind of whoever may dovetail into whatever media thing is going on or a different area is getting folks. So that's part of what you guys are doing and that we're all doing today is kind of putting that spotlight on Chicago for its history, you know, on the barbecue side as well. And Barry, you are one of these, as these guys talk about, and they are, you know, national figures, but not necessarily aligned perfectly with Chicago as far as their identity. But you really are. As you travel, people say, hey, there's Barry. It's Chicago, wherever you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And it's funny because I don't think that was entirely intentional on our part. I think, you know, in many respects, we were sort of right place, right time. We do a couple of things well. But, I mean, I feel like Chicago at the time, Chicago's barbecue scene, while it had this great history, maybe needed a little bit of a refresh. And I don't know whether we were just a spark that kind of kicked it off or whether it was going to happen with or without us. But, you know, we were just happy to be a part of it.
Well, and you've talked about it, too, and you're appreciative of it and aware of that history. And, of course, and as everybody has said, we're super thankful to have you here kind of leading that charge in the present-day barbecue world as well. And Meathead Goldwyn is here. He is in Chicago, a best-selling author, a historian. He's got one of the most popular websites related to and dedicated to barbecue with AmazingRibs.com. So Meathead, what is it? You know, what is it that drew you here to Chicago, and what is it about all of this that drew you to this event, Chicago Barbecue, and what is it with, as you share kind of that education and a lot of those insights with people all around the country, what is it that makes barbecue and what you do so popular?
Well, I've always been interested in the history and the cultural aspects of barbecue, and I would take minor issue with Sweet Baby Ray about Chicago being at the top of the second tier. I think that there is one of the reasons that Kansas City, Memphis, the Carolinas, Austin, and the rest of Texas have their distinctive reputations is because there's a distinctive style. And the discussion of the aquarium smoker came up. For people who are listening that don't know what an aquarium smoker is, it's a large steel box. Rectangular, like a giant coffin. And it's very similar to the pulley pits that they use in Texas. It's built so that you can cook over logs above ground. Used to be they dug a hole in the ground.
It's like a cajachina kind of thing.
Cooked in the shade, under a shade tree. That doesn't fly with the health department anymore. So they had to put it in a steel box, and they enclosed it with some glass walls so that they could capture the smoke and send it out the chimney and not deal with the pollution issues. But basically, it's the direct descendant of a pit in the ground, the old shade tree barbecue, which was brought north by the African Americans after the cotton gin took their jobs in the fields during the Great Migration, and then again in the buildup and during World War II. In the industrial era, the jobs were in Chicago. They came north, settled on the south side, wanted to cook under the shade tree like they used to. They created or founded this, I don't know the exact history, Wiviot probably does, of the aquarium smoker, and started working with that.
Let me just interject. There's glass on all four sides. The glass also moves. And a lot of people don't talk about this, but if you open the glass in certain ways, you create a vortex of smoke that actually swirls inside that, and that's what bathes the ribs. But the other thing about the Chicago aquarium smoker is that being right over the live fire is that the meat juices fall directly onto the burning embers. They explode up into the smoke, which comes back down. There's just a taste that you don't get anywhere else in the country except over these aquarium smokers.
It's a grill and a smoker. And if I could just comment back to my good friend Meathead, Chicago is also the home of Weber Grill, which is a multi-billion dollar company, and Kraft Foods, which is also a multi-billion dollar company. So when you factor in everything Chicago, that's where my...
And as I travel around the country and I share kind of those things, people aren't aware that, like, Weber's right here because it's just so... I think it's just so ingrained in everybody's lives. People are just so used to it. There's going to be so much history and so much history being shared and memories and everything from you guys. So, Dave, where are we going to go today?
Well, we're going to be going down to the south side of Chicago, right into the heart of some of Chicago's oldest storefront barbecue joints. We're going to be visiting Lem's. We're going to go to I-57 Rib House. And if we have time, we got a couple more on the schedule. But the whole idea is to show America what Chicago barbecue is all about.
I'd like to add one other thing. The aquarium smoker got its nickname, aquarium smoker, because of the tempered glass in the smokers you can see in. And that gave it an aquarium effect. You would see the meat bathing with the smoke. And people started calling it an aquarium because they could see into it, not dissimilar to an aquarium with fish in it. And the other thing is, I always get a little sweaty when everyone praises, justifiably praises Barry's brisket, because I think our barn company of brisket is
noted. Noted.
Once again, I would go to the metrics, the 42 briskets that Barry makes a day and the 70 that he makes on the weekend, I think would speak for themselves.
The lines don't lie, and that is for sure.
What about the ton of chicken wings we sell a week?
if I can just jump on that subject for a second. To be honest, Gary, I get a little uncomfortable with it, too, because the fact of the matter is there is a lot of great barbecue in Chicago.
Yes.
And people doing great brisket, and we're incredibly grateful for the reputation that we have, but we recognize that we are not the only
It's well-deserved, too, Barry. Ben, Chicago is a beautiful, wonderful city full of food-centric people, and there's room for everyone.
It is a beautiful city. It's a delicious city, and we are going to see and hear from so many places that have been beautiful and delicious for so many years but maybe haven't gotten the attention that they are going to get today. So, guys, I want to thank you all for being here in WGN. It's going to be exciting on the tour. We're going to have a recap as well, and thanks so much for what you're doing, guys.
Hey, thank you. I am so excited to be here and really honored and humbled that Dr. Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue is here, Gary Wiviot, award-winning author with Low and Slow, and of course, my good friend going back for a long time, Sweet Baby Ray. I mean, this guy has got his sauce all over the place. And then Barry Sorkin, one of my favorite places I've always stopped every time I'm in Chicago. And Meathead, just an incredible wealth of knowledge in the world of barbecue. So I think you couldn't ask for a better group of folks to be traveling around the city of Chicago today on the great Chicago Barbecue Tour, acknowledging the history that Chicago has its place in the world of barbecue today.
It's the Great Chicago Barbecue Tour. It's facebook.com/FamousDaveChicago, and you can go ahead and check that out. For those people that do get a chance to see it live, you can definitely comment, and we're going to have all of the handles and information and all of the websites for all of our participants here today up at WGNRadio.com. And Ray, as we finish this up, the guy who traveled the furthest to be here, what is it that you hope you're going to take away today other than just some great barbecue?
Yeah, that's really what I came for, to hang out with my friends and eat some barbecue. So that's all I really need today.
Mission accomplished. Guys, thanks so much for being in WGN.
Thank you.